I want to thank all of you for sending in your photos so that we may create this mosaic face of Jesus Christ. These are small tiles, and each tile contains a picture of you. So thank you for sending your pictures, and I must apologize. We have used a program to create this mosaic face of Jesus Christ, and some of the pictures did not get uploaded. I did not do that. The program did it by itself. So if you don't find your photos, I do apologize. Our hope is that each Sunday we reveal one portion of the face mosaic of Jesus Christ, one Sunday at a time, and thereby at the completion of the series, hey, cross-reference, finding Jesus from the Old Testament, and at the conclusion of our series, you see the whole picture of Jesus. Another cool thing about this mosaic face of Jesus is you will find, as you find Jesus in the Old Testament, you will find yourselves in the face of Jesus. So this morning, the focus is on wisdom, and you will find wisdom of God in the face of Jesus. And next week, you're going to find the strength of forgiving one another, and you will find Jesus, and thereby, you find yourselves in Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you open our eyes, open our ears, and open our minds. Give us the eyes to see, ears to hear, and the mind to conceive the wisdom of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I have a friend about 25 years ago, one of my best friends. He was a good-looking guy. He just became a Christian, and he was his faith was really, really hot. And he was devoting himself in the faith journey of Jesus Christ. He was reading through the Bible, praying fervently, surrounding himself with other mature Christians in his life. And it so happened that he fell in love with a woman. And he was asking me the question, Victor, how do you know if this is the woman that I should date and marry? What does God say about finding your future spouse? Well, friends, you know what God says in his good book, Bible, as to whom you should marry? He only says one thing. You know what he says? One thing. Do not be yoked with unbelievers. And this is the words of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be yoked with unbelievers. Now, let me just pause there. The word he uses is to yoke. A yoke is a wooden beam which you place upon the shoulder of an ox or a cow for plow or to pull a cart. So it goes like over the shoulders of the animal, and the animal pulls the cart or pulls the plow. And that's what God says. Do not be yoked. Do not come under the same yoke as the unbelievers. And here's why. If Jesus is the most important person in your life, if Jesus is the one who defines your core values as to how you live, what your dreams and hopes are about, and then if you marry someone who does not hold Jesus at the same place in your heart, then it's going to create all kinds of tension and problems in your marriage. So for the spiritual reason, but at the same time, for practical purposes, do not be yoked. Do not put yourself under the same yoke with someone who is not a believer in Christ for your spiritual journey and for your practical journey. Well, my friend, Johannes, the girl that he had his eyes fixed on, with whom he fell in love, and he began giving his heart. You know what I'm talking about? You know the expression, you give your heart to someone? You do that this is the person that you always think about. When you go to bed, you think about this person. When you wake up, you think about this person. And during the day, you want to spend time with this person. So my friend, you want to give his heart to this woman. Here, take my heart, my most precious. And he was asking for, give me your heart. As I love you, will you love me back? She said no. And he was devastated. He was crushed. And he kept He kept asking, how do you know, Victor? How do I know if this is the woman that I should marry? Should I pursue? Should I part ways? Should I look for other women? Here's a question for you. How would you know? Do you know whom you should date? Do you know whom you should marry? How do you make wise choices? Your life and my life, life itself is filled with choices. Small choices, big choices, important choices. And oftentimes, rules don't help you. Oftentimes, what's right and wrong, morality, it doesn't help you. What helps you is wisdom. Wisdom. How can you make the right choice? How can you make a wise decision? I'm going to ask two questions. Here's how you know how wise you are. First question is, look to your past. Second question is, consider the future. Okay, first, look to your past. In the past, how have you done with making wise choices? Should you have bought that house years ago? Now, looking back, you're thinking, you know what? At the time, it sounded good, but now looking back, looking where I am now financially, I don't know if there was a wise choice. Should I have dated that girl 2 years ago? You know, she was really fun, she was pretty, and I really, really liked her. But looking back now, there were some signs, tales, that said to you, maybe you shouldn't have dated this girl. And now you're heartbroken. You got the scars to prove it. And you're asking, hey, should you have taken that job? At the time, it sounded good. It looked good. Opportunities, the salary, it looked really good. But you know what? If I were being really honest, I should have taken the other job. It paid less, but it aligned with my passion, my interest, my giftedness. Instead, I took the job that paid more. In looking back, you regret your decision. So you look at the mistakes that you made in the past, and you ask yourself, how wise was I? You know what the common denominator is in all those circumstances, in all those cases, in all these choices? It doesn't matter. Was it a relationship, person, job, opportunity? Should I move? Should I stay in Edmonton? Should I move to Calgary? No. The common denominator is you. In every decision, you were there. In every mistake, you were there. In every unwise choice, the common thing that was consistent through and through is you. Turn to your neighbor and say this. Wherever you are, there you are. Turn to us. Yeah, there we go. Oh, okay. 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 You don't have to be so expressive, because wherever you are, there you are. Whatever you are, there you are. Wise choices. Now, given your hopes and dreams of the future, what kind of choices should you make? Given your hopes and dreams of today and of the future, what kind of choices should you make? And the answer is, I want to make wise choices. You want to be a better husband today and tomorrow. That is your hopes and your dreams. But how would you become a better husband? You want to become a better wife, a more patient wife, more long-suffering wife. You want to work on your communication. But how would you make that choice in terms of, hey, there's no right and wrong here, but what is the wise choice? About the move, should I stay in Edmonton? Should I move to Calgary? Should I go elsewhere? Should I date this person? Should I date that? What will help you in making those important choices? Well, here is why this is so hard. Oftentimes, these important choices in your life, they're not black and white. What do I mean by that? Black and white is right and wrong, right? Morality. It's a clear cut. do not make the choice because it's immoral. And therefore, it's black and white. Okay? And simply because you could doesn't mean you should. It is moral. It is legal. But because you could do it, it doesn't make it wise choice that you should do it. Right? So oftentimes in this wise decisions, it's not black and white. There is no legality. It's legal. If it's not, it's a clear cut. But it is legal. It is allowed by the laws of the land. And at the same time, it is moral. It doesn't hurt anyone. But is it the wise thing to do? For example, smoking pot. Is it legal? Yes, it is. Is it moral? Well, that's... But is it wise? Let's just say it is legal, it is moral, but is it wise? Now, today, I could buy a brand new car. Right now, I could buy a brand new car, a convertible, because I live in Edmonton in February. I could do it. It's legal. It's moral. I have the money. But should I? Why are you in such a financial difficult times right now? Is it just something that happened overnight? Or is it an accumulation of your unwise choices? Why do you always end up with the wrong guy and the wrong girl? Is it an overnight choice, unwise choice? Or is it a wealth and a depth of all these unwise choices? So how do you make your choice? I'll be reading a passage which is really familiar to us all. It's about King Solomon. King Solomon is the wisest person who ever lived. When he became a king at a young age, he prayed to God, God, give me wisdom. Give me the prudence and the wisdom to know not only what's right and wrong, but the wisdom to know how to navigate in this gray area. I may not need help for what's black and white, but what I need your help with, God, is wisdom so that I may rule your people with justice. And the Lord God granted his prayer because God said, Solomon, you could have asked for wealth. You could have asked for power. You could have asked for something for your selfish reasons, but instead you asked for wisdom. That was a really wise choice, Saul. And then therefore, I will give it to you. And King Solomon became the wisest person who ever lived. So we come to passage in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, and we pick it up from verse 16 through 28. And as I read God's word, I want you to notice how King Solomon navigates in this gray area. It's not black and white. It's gray. And how does he utilize wisdom to make the wise choice? And friends, if you are willing and able to stand for the reading of God's word, please do so. If you're not able, please remain seated out of reverence and respect for God's word. Please stand if you are able. Hear the word of the Lord, people. Now, two prostitutes came to King Solomon, and they stood before him. One of them said, pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put a dead son by my breast. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, no, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours. But the first woman said, no, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine. And so they argued back and forth before the king. The king said, "This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead, while that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. What's the wise thing to do?" Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword before the king. He then gave an order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave this ruling: "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." Let's read verse 28 together in one voice. When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Here's my theme and goal. Gain wisdom through Jesus Christ, period. You don't have wisdom. You can't work on wisdom. You must receive wisdom. So I say, God says, gain wisdom. How? Simply put, just one thought. Gain wisdom through Jesus Christ. And here's why. The reason we began this whole series, cross-reference, finding Jesus from the Old Testament, okay, is this. You must interpret the Old Testament, and that is the first part of the Bible, which was written before the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay? You must read, understand, interpret, apply the Old Testament of the Bible in light of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, the Old Testament does not make sense. Without Jesus Christ, the only thing the Old Testament is, do a better person. Try harder. Obey God. Please God. Don't get in the wrong side of God. Only with Jesus, the person of Christ, and what he has accomplished for you by himself, only in light of who Jesus is and who, what he has done, can the Old Testament make sense. Because I read in 1 Corinthians. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. So this is before you came to Christ. Think of who you were and what you were before God called you. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for you the wisdom of God, your righteousness, your holiness, your redemption. Therefore, it is written, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Okay? Here's what he's saying. The wisdom that we need in life is not so much a set of principles and practice, it's about a person. You gain wisdom by gaining the person who is wisdom. And Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. None of us is wise. None of us is noble. God did not call you. He did not love you because you were lovable or good or kind or worthy. God loves you, accepts you. In spite of my fault, in spite of my mistakes, in spite of my unwise choices, God accepts me because He is kind. God loves me because He is loving. And He loves even the person. And therefore, if I'm going to boast, I can't boast in myself. I have nothing to show for. I can boast in God, who has loved me, accepted me, and who is giving me power today. So that's it. You gain wisdom. You don't become wise on your own. You receive wisdom through the person of Jesus Christ. So you gain wisdom through Christ. And also at the same time, the person of Christ is giving you His yoke. What's a yoke? It's a wooden beam that you place upon the shoulder of an ox or a cow to plow or to pull the cart. Okay? So the farmer controls the beast. Did you know? I was blown away by this. The Hebrew word for wisdom is actually training. His word for wisdom is this idea of receiving something from someone and being under the yoke of the person. Let me repeat that. The understanding of the Hebrew world of the idea of wisdom is placing yourself under a yoke of somebody else. That's how a person becomes wise. Not by through his wisdom, but rather by placing under, you bear under the authority and the rule of the yoke. See, this is why Jesus says in Matthew, all you who are weary and tired, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and easy in heart. And my yoke is light, and it will give you rest. Jesus picks up on this Hebrew understanding of wisdom, says, take my yoke upon you. Take my ruling, my kingship in your life, and live under that authority of my wisdom. So, friends, every one of us, me, you, we all are wearing a yoke. The question is, whose yoke do you have upon your shoulders? You have a set of ideas, values, principles, practice. What's important to you, what is ruling over you right now, is the yoke upon you and with which, under which, you are making your unwise choices. We are ruled by a yoke. If you are being ruled by the yoke of security, you know what kind of choices you're going to make? You're going to put all your resources, put all your money, so that you may have this sense of security for tomorrow. And that's the reason for which you will not invest your money in others, because you need that money to build security for you for today and tomorrow. And that's why you don't feel you don't have enough, not for God, not for others, because you need your every cent to create this sense of security, because your yoke is security. That's what you need. We find this in this text. You gain wisdom by understanding what the sword is. But let me just make one more choice, okay? Those of you, how do I say this? There are two women. They both have a baby in the text. One is dead, and one says, this is my baby. And they say, no. She says, this is my baby. And the King Solomon says, bring the sword. Repeat after me, bring the sword. One more time, bring the sword. Because when you bring the sword in your life, it reveals what kind of yoke you have. Here's what I'm talking about. Okay? And I give Tim Keller this credit. He said, when the King Solomon said, bring the sword, and all of a sudden, it revealed what was in the hearts of the two women. The first woman, the true mother, says, no! What's important to me is not my motherhood, but rather the livelihood of my son. Don't kill him. Give my son to the woman who is not his mother. See, the sword revealed what's in her heart. That makes sense? The sword also revealed what was in the heart of the false mother. She said, that's right. If I can't have her, if she can't have her, then cut the baby in half. What was in her heart was not the livelihood of the baby. It was the motherhood of her heart. She didn't care about the baby. What she cared about was herself. And that's why she couldn't stand the thought of, well, if I can't have her, then she cannot be a mother either. Okay? See, friends, when you bring the sword into whatever decision you're trying to make, is this a wise choice? Is this a wise choice? You bring the sword, and it will reveal what's in your heart as to what's important, what's driving your decision-making values. So if you can't decide in these two choices, and it's both legally okay, morally sound, but is it the wise thing to do? You bring the sword, and you do this mental exercise. I'm going to give it up. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to want it. I say, God, take it back. Bring the sword. I want to know what's in my heart. What's my heart really after in this decision making? Those of you who are trying to decide on your major, because you're going to the university, it's expensive, you're accruing debt, and you're taking out loans, and you say, oh, I got to make the right choice. Well, what's the wise choice? Is it medicine or is it law? I don't get it. I don't know what's so funny about that. Bring the sword. Bring the sword, okay? What's in your heart? Is it about the esteem and the reputation that you're after behind your major choice? Or is it the money? What's in your heart? What if you said, Lord, bring the sword, and I'm going to give it up. I don't want either. I'm going to be an education major. And I'm going to go into the inner city in the third world somewhere, and I'm going to serve the poor. When you bring the sword, it will force you to reveal what's in your heart. Okay? And the way you live this out is by embracing Jesus. You've heard me say this, okay? Jesus is the one who says, hey, look, the scripture is about me. The Old Testament, Moses wrote about me. David wrote about me. The Bible is not about these people. The Bible is really about me. The Bible is not about you primarily. It's not what you have to do primarily. It's about me, who I am, saying Jesus, and what I have accomplished. Okay? So when you embrace that idea, okay, then wisdom is not something I work on. It's not a set of principles. It's living with the person of Jesus Christ. Then he will help you to make the wise choice. When you live with wisdom, when Jesus is so close to you as a person living in your life, and you can't make the wise choice between two good ideas and options, he will help you. He will walk you through. And you will say, Lord Jesus, bring the sword and reveal what's in my heart, and he will help you with that too. Okay? Let me end with this. In every story in the Bible, for example, Abram, okay, what did he want the most in his life? What was it? He was wealthy. He was reputable. He had influence. He had everything except for one. He didn't have a child. He asked God, God, give me a son. God grants his prayer. He gives Isaac to him. And Abram was 100 years old when he had his first child. Can you imagine how precious Isaac was to Abram? And then God says, bring the sword. Bring the sword. I'm going to find out what's in your heart, Abram. Do you really love me above all else? Or are you just using me to gain a child? See, when the sword was brought in, Abram found out what was in his heart. And he was able to say, Lord, you brought the sword. I'm going to give up my son. Because I'm going to believe that you will give me your ultimate son at the end. So let's summarize and conclude. Wisdom. What's the wise choice when you're standing at this forks in the road? What's the wise thing? Given your past mistakes and knowing your hopes and dreams of the future, what is the wise thing to do in terms of your most important decisions? And Jesus Christ comes to your life. He becomes your wisdom. And as you follow him, and as you say, Lord, not often, not every day perhaps, but from time to time, bring the sword, reveal what's in my heart. And you live with wisdom, Jesus Christ, and he will lead and guide your path every step of the way. My friend, my best friend, you know, the guy who fell in love with this girl, and he prayed, and he gave his heart, but she said, no. You know what he did? He said, Lord, I'm going to give her up. She doesn't define me. You define me. My security is found not in her, but in you. So in a word, the Lord brought the sword, and my friend was able to give her up. He said, go in peace. And you know what happened after that? She came back chasing him. And now they've been married together for 25 years now. They have a lovely family, they're best friends, and they are just having a time of their lives together. All because my friend said, bring the sword. Lord Jesus, you are my wisdom. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we come to you now in humility, but also in anticipation. We pray that you will continually speak to us. Speak the words of wisdom, the eternal words of wisdom. We covet them. We cherish them. And we pray now that you help us become wise so that through your wisdom, we may help others along the way. May you receive all the glory now. In the name of Christ we pray. And God's people say together, amen.